Reading is from 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. 2 Kings 20, 1 through 3. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was near death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you faithfully, and with an undivided heart have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you again. It's a beautiful day, and we have such a good number here, and it's been delightful so far to sing with you and to pray with you and to worship with you. It's really just been an amazing morning so far, so I appreciate everyone being here and the way that you've participated in our worship so far today. If you were in the adult class this morning, I thought we had a wonderful class as well and a great time of study. And, you know, it really, I think we were studying about prayer and some of and some really, really interesting thoughts that I do think kind of transition really well into this example that we're going to study this morning with Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah prayed for something, and the Lord listened. And that's something we discussed in our class today. And actually, I think, you know, as we get to a certain point, there's something that was brought up in class that I'll share again for those of you who may not have been in the class. But we are going to study Hezekiah and the prayer that he made after receiving the notification that we had in our scripture reading this morning, that, you know, he was to the point of death, and Isaiah, the prophet, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." It's kind of an interesting story, just kind of an interesting principle, you know, that Hezekiah was told this. Certainly difficult news, and that he would kind of be able to see his future and be able to know what was going to happen to him prior to that actually happening. That's something that I like science fiction stories and movies and TV shows, and in science fiction sometimes there's a lot of, like, you know, time travel and knowing your future. And it's usually kind of portrayed as this very kind of dark, you know, dramatic experience. And it's something that, you know, I even read one person who kind of said it's there's this principle in science fiction where it's always bad to know your future. And we kind of convince ourselves that we'd be bad because we don't have any control over it anyway. We can't know our future, and that sometimes causes us anxiety. So there's all these kind of stories where, well, if you did know your future, things would turn out terribly anyway. Knowing that future would somehow, you know, cause you to make poor decisions or something along those lines. And it's almost like kind of a defense mechanism in our storytelling that we say, well, this thing that you couldn't possibly do, you wouldn't want to do that anyway. It would ruin everything. Even though, just thinking about knowing the future, you know, God told Hezekiah through Isaiah this, but really so much of our faith is really founded upon that when you think about it. I mean, part of our assurance of Christ and the Bible is through the prophecies that we see and these prophecies coming to pass and being confirmed. And that shows us that God's word is true and righteous. That's not something that man can do. And perhaps that's maybe nowhere more important to our faith than the realization that there are things about the future that God has told us that haven't come to pass yet, that we believe and that we affirm with all of our hearts that Christ, you know, has he foretold his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he has foretold also that he is coming back. And then we have heaven waiting for us. That's something in our future that we do know, that we have been told, that the faithful will be with God in eternity. So in a way, that's kind of telling the future, and it's very important to us. So I wanted to look at Hezekiah and how he responded to this news, and then how God dealt with him through that. So to reread 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." And it is interesting that God sent Hezekiah this warning. Now, of course, I believe God knew what would happen. I don't think there was anything that surprised God in this. So he must have had a purpose in telling Hezekiah, knowing the way that Hezekiah would respond. A reminder of our own mortality, of the limited time that we have on this earth, can be very profound. It can be extremely meaningful. I want to look in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. Christ teaches, "Concerning that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." And I'd actually initially went to this passage because I was kind of thinking of what would come next with the thief in the night and being prepared and not knowing when our time will come, when the Son of Man will come again, when that judgment will be. But when I read it, it really kind of struck me. Something I hadn't thought enough about before was what he says about the people in the time of Noah. And they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. I think it's interesting that Christ, you know, mentions this specific thing in the context of talking about the second coming. And it just paints this picture of these people living a worldly life and celebrating and making merry and just so focused on things and just having no idea what was coming. And it really made me stop to re-examine myself and to realize, you know, how much I and probably a lot of people in the world just become so focused and narrow-minded and kind of self-centered in just the day-to-day things of life and good or bad, but just becoming kind of focused on this and losing sight of, you know, the temporary nature of this life and what this life is really for. Sometimes, like maybe in movies or TV shows, you will see there'll be a scene where people are laughing, or you know they're having a good time, but we as the audience, you know, maybe there's a music cue that will come in, or there's been foreshadowing, or we know that this is going to be a tragic movie or something, and we can see them celebrating, but we in the back of our minds know that something dark is coming. And that really just, it gives me pause, because I don't want to be caught in this life celebrating and relaxing and making merry and forgetting that, you know, there's a more important purpose, that the Son of Man is coming, that my life will end somehow, someday. And I don't want to be caught just kind of going through all those things the way that Christ describes the people during Noah's time of doing. And then, of course, continuing on, In verse 42, Christ says, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." And it's just so interesting that Hezekiah was told, "Your time is coming." We, of course, do not have that. We need to always be ready and always be prepared. And, you know, there's a lot of times you'll hear sayings like, or in songs, if you knew this was your last day on earth, if this was your last day and you knew that, you know, how would you live? What would you do today? I think that's a very valuable thought. I struggle with it sometimes because, you know, I need to go to work. You know, if I knew that this was my last day, I would skip work. I wouldn't worry about that. So, I mean, there's maybe some reasonableness and being stewards of a long-term vision of our lives and things that we have to balance with that. But I obviously we need to heed Christ's words here that we are not assured tomorrow. We don't know when our day will come. So Hezekiah is told this, and with that time that he has, with his own mortality presented to him, how does he respond? Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So his response is to pray, to go to God. And as we mentioned many times in our class this morning, going to God is one of the most important aspects of our life, our walk with God, our spirituality. It's so much different than the way people of the world can deal with the problems. They can't talk to a God that they know. They don't believe in that God, or they're not connected to that God. And we, of course, have that amazing opportunity that we can go to our Father, and that our Father hears us and listens and will answer our prayers. Hezekiah's prayer might seem a little strange, maybe, from a modern perspective, because it almost sounds like he's kind of leveraging his faithfulness in this prayer in a way, as if he's kind of saying, God, I've been faithful to you. Remember how I've walked before you and have done what is good in your sight. It's almost like he's kind of saying, like, look how good I've been. Don't you think I would deserve some more time? Which may be a little strange for us to think of, you know, from the way that we would pray today. So a couple points about that. First, I read one commentator who I think rightly points out that the Old Testament times were a little bit different than the times that we have now. Not that God has changed, but Hezekiah didn't have the assembled collection of the Word of God in a written form that we do today. God spoke to mankind through prophets, and in this case, of course, Isaiah. And I don't mean that to be all-encompassing, that there aren't principles that apply through mankind all the time, obviously. But I think that mankind, I look at it as, you know, man was in its infancy during that time. And God spoke directly to mankind. And if we think about like a young child, like my son loves playing Ninja Turtles right now. He's obsessed with it. And so I tell him, like, if you're a good listener, you can get to play. And so he's always thinking, like, have I been a good listener? Is that a good listener? I really want to play. I really want to play. And so that's, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's where he's at in his life, right? That's his understanding of things. Like, if I be good, then I get good things that will happen. And I think we see that in man's infancy in the Old Testament, where righteousness is rewarded in a very kind of tangible way. And sin brings forth death and destruction a lot of times in a very literal way, where God actually sends death upon those who are not obedient to Him. And we today have the benefit of seeing that played out. That's what God was teaching, I believe, in those circumstances, that sin leads to death. And now we can benefit from seeing those examples today. So I don't know that we would be encouraged to pray to God, look how faithful I've been, and look how righteous I am, and don't you think you should answer my prayers and give me the things that I ask for because of my righteousness? Again, I think that we have maybe a more mature view, not that we as individuals are more mature, but that we have the benefit of all that history that we learn from. Because I think all of us have probably prayed for something and didn't receive maybe the answer that we had thought we wanted. But that doesn't mean that we are unfaithful. It, of course, only means that, God, in His wisdom, can answer our prayers in ways that we may not even be able to comprehend. We can't see the view, the perspective that God has in the answering of our prayers. And maybe, even in addition to that, maybe Hezekiah's prayer wasn't perhaps as self-serving as we might think. You think him saying, please, God, you told me that, I'm not going to get better, that I'm going to pass away. Please give me more life. Haven't you seen how faithful I've been? But maybe he was, honestly, and I don't know his heart. I don't want to put more into the passage than I know. But maybe there was a part of it that's saying, I want to do good. I want to continue being faithful. And maybe he wanted this to be service of God. And I'm sure that he also wanted to live. He didn't want to die. I'm sure that was part of it too. But judging by God's response to this, I do think Hezekiah's prayer was in a faithful way, in a righteous way. And, God's will would be done through it. Picking up in verse 4. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, bring a cake of figs, and let them take and lay it on the boil, that he may recover. So God tells Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, and I will grant you 15 more years. Do we think that Hezekiah would have survived, would have lived that extra 15 years, had he not made that prayer? I mean, I think we can, certainly not, I would say. I don't think so, and I would almost say I know with certainty, because God cannot lie. I don't think God would have told him that had it not been true. But because of the prayer, God intervened and answered that prayer. And I wanted to bring up a passage, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now this is almost too logical, almost too sensible, almost too common sense that maybe I pass over it in my mind sometimes. And I don't appreciate it for really how profound it is. That here, God tells us, if you ask, you will receive. And that is such it's so obvious, but it's just really profound that the creator of the universe, that God tells us that if we want something, we just need to ask. That's just so incredible. But mankind has a way of kind of struggling through things because we don't ask for what we want. We don't take the time to think about what would be good for us and how we can best use our time. James writes in James chapter 4, verse 1, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." That's really enlightening. How much we see today, fighting, quarreling, covetousness, you know, all these things that war at us. And here James writes, you get all upset with all of these things, and you don't have because you don't ask. And then he says, when you do ask, you ask with the wrong spirit so that you can do things selfishly. And how much better off we would be, how much despair we would save ourselves if we would just ask. Just ask in a righteous spirit for what is good and what will be aligned with God's will, and we can save ourselves so much. And then God provides a sign for Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of a relatively small number of people who have their time set out for them and to kind of know when that time is going to be. He's told 15 years. And again, going back to like science fiction, like these ideas of machines that will tell you your exact time to die. And again, it's always painted as this, you know, horrific thing. There's always some like ironic twist to it that if you were to know your time, how it would, you know, backfire tragically. But here Hezekiah is given the amount of time that he will have. And then there is this sign that goes along with it. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 8. "And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?' And Isaiah said, 'This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, 'It is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather, let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps, by which it had gone down on the steps of Ahaz. And then this miracle is also recorded in Isaiah 38 and verse 7. "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial 10 steps by which it had declined." Now, you may believe this or not believe this, but the fact that I was bringing this up today was purely coincidental. I didn't know until this morning that we were turning our clocks back. It was just so wild when I realized that. I was not doing this for daylight savings time, that the sun, that, you know, time was going backwards. Until my wife told me this morning, after I'd already woken up, because of course your phone just does it automatically, I did not even know that was this weekend. But it happens to tie in really well with the sign that Hezekiah was given by God, that instead of it, you know, he says, well, yeah, it'd be easy to see, you know, the sun move the way we always do. But to know that you are doing what he said, show the sun going backwards on the sundial. And of course, that's exactly what God does. Brings the sun back, kind of rewinds time. Not in the fake sense like we do in the daylight savings time, but in a miraculous sense. And I think that this sign that God chose to utilize has a significance. You know, Hezekiah was told his time had run out. and he prays to God. And then God shows kind of like the rewinding of the time, of the sun. To kind of, I think, illustrate that God heard and he was giving Hezekiah more time. It's really, it just kind of gives you chills to think about, you know, what Hezekiah received in that moment. And so God heard his prayer, and his time was being rewound, was given more time. And that's just such a beautiful illustrative story of the way that God will hear us and answer our prayers. I do not believe that God works the same way now as he would back then. Again, we live in a different era, and perhaps our prayers are answered in ways that are a little less maybe miraculous or something like that. But again, I think in man's infancy, you know, we were shown God answers your prayers. Look at what happens. And we can have faith that he does that today as well. Hezekiah did have moments of weakness after this. In 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 24, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore wrath came upon him and Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So it's interesting that after this, Hezekiah had a moment of pride, and it was not pleasing to God. And I don't know that we can glean a lot more from that. Again, not knowing his heart, but maybe praying to God and having that prayer answered, or maybe knowing that he had time affected the pride, I can't say. But we know that he did have an issue, but we also know that he overcame it and that he humbled himself, and both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the wrath of the Lord did not come upon him. So I pray this morning that we can all humble ourselves. And you know, maybe even Hezekiah was taking something for granted in that pride that he had. And I pray that we will not take things for granted as well. I hope that we see from this lesson God's incredible love, his willingness to respond, and something that was brought up in our Bible class that really, I think, goes along with this is, you know, it was mentioned in the study, like, Do we realize? I'm paraphrasing. I may get it a little differently than it was said, but do we realize that God is asking for our input on the future when he is telling us to pray and that he will answer our prayers? And that is like a mind-blowing thought. That, you know, God wants us involved in our future. That's why he's told us to talk to him and to pray with him, and that he will listen to our prayers. Here we see Hezekiah having an impact on his future by making a prayer, a request to God. So that is truly mind-blowing. And he is all-powerful and loving towards us. Now I want to close by just pointing out one important difference. Hezekiah was told that he would have 15 years. But we are not given that promise. We are not given a single day, a single hour. If you have not become right with God, this is the time. Time is going forward, even when it falls back, figuratively speaking, time is still going forward, and our life is a vapor. If you are not sure of your place in eternity with God and in Christ, please come forward and make your wishes known, and we can help you with that and pray with you if you need. Please come forward as we stand and sing.